a delusion that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line our good friend Bill Sardi, who does support Radio Liberty. And Bill is going to be talking about health issues. Bill is a health journalist. You may very well have heard him on Radio Across America. He works for one of the large companies that puts out certainly purity products, but today he's just going to be talking with us about the issues he sees facing us today in the health issue. Bill, thank you so very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Dr. Stan, and I want to say it's more of the same today, depressing news sometimes. Of course, we have some good answers for some people, but the Food and Drug Administration, after, well, sitting on their hands while 20,000 people died of side effects, they knew it, taking Vioxx, and now another catastrophe, which they won't admit to, and that is 1.5 million school children taking Ritalin, which is really methamphetamine, if you hear the word meth, crystal meth, ice, crank, speed. That's methamphetamine or Ritalin that they put your children on in school. And now about 10% of the young boys age 10 and around that age are all on Ritalin. And now they've got 19 confirmed deaths among childhood school children, and of course some more deaths among adults, but they're denying that there's any causal link between Ritalin and these deaths. They're all cardiovascular disease, sudden heart attacks.
What is a 10 or 11 year old child doing with a cardiac disease?
Well, but we all know, those of us in medicine, that there is a cardiac risk of sudden death if it's a street drug, you see. But if it's a prescribed by a doctor down there at school, I don't know what parents are thinking putting their kids on these things. Of course, we've got all the school teachers trained now to be drug dispensers and to recommend children or, quote, well, you know, behavior problems, learning problems. And so now we put them on all this. Now, we've got a good answer for you today, so don't think this is all depressing. But we have the millions of children on this, got another 2.5 million adults legally on a street drug. It's okay if you take it, and the drug companies make money if they're cashed out of this, because the meth labs are making it at home, and they don't make the profit, then it's illegal, and they send you to jail. So you guys just get it. Diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, you'll get your methamphetamine prescription.
And, you know, I think it's amazing how many of our college students are taking Ritalin. They actually have little booklets that tell you the symptoms you're supposed to tell the doctor, and then he'll give you a prescription for Ritalin, and they can use it because then they can sit up all night long, you know, and study for their tests, or they can sell it. And this is the most commonly used drugs by our college students today is Ritalin. Well, where's the outcry?
And here's the Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta reporting that heart enlargement is a well-recognized complication of methamphetamine abuse and is a strong independent risk factor for sudden death. Journal of Resuscitation of this past year, there it is. The FDA knows all about this. They're looking the other way.
And we'll be back in just a moment with our good friend Bill Sardi here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is health journalist Bill Sardi. Of course, he was supporter of Radio Liberty. But he's going to be talking today about the fact that they're putting our young people, our boys and girls, but mostly predominantly boys, starting at about age 10, onto Ritalin, which is nothing but a methamphetamine with a fancy name on it. And certainly it's a lot cheaper than buying it, you know, from the local vendor that is made up in somebody's basement. But it's exactly the same drug. It works through exactly the same channels. It poisons the heart in the same way. It stunts the growth of the children. They have smaller brains, smaller frames, you know, and they will never be as tall as they ordinarily would be. And yet, almost one in ten boys, adolescent boys in America today, are on Ritalin. And with that as the background, why don't you pick up the story, Bill?
Well, and of course, when this was on television, well, they were covering the problem of the 19 childhood deaths. But the television, one of the channels there had a whole, well, let's take you into a family that uses Ritalin, and then it was really an ad for Ritalin, this mother saying she doesn't know how she would get through the day without Ritalin for her children. So, you know, they were covering it, but it was really an unfair way of saying, gee, there's so many benefits, we might as well just let 19 kids die. And so everyone understands the duplicity of all this. The Consumer Product Safety Commission this month is recalling a defective baby crib because it's killed one child, one single child. I'm not condoning the crib. It's a defective crib. But nonetheless, when one child dies, they do something. When 19 die and the drug companies are making $600 million a year, the FDA looks somewhere else. This is what's going on. What's the problem? It's not a drug deficiency, as we point out in our worldwide press release today, trying to alert all these families whether they'll ever pull their children away from these drugs. We haven't got much hope for it, but they're just following the doctor's advice. But what it shows, and we take a look at the literature, these children have iron deficiency anemia. You know, a young child needs to make about 2 million red blood cells a second. Their bone marrow is working overtime. To make red blood cells, you need hemoglobin. For that, you need iron. And children can hardly get enough. And that's why the very, very young children need to take naps. They just don't have enough red blood cells to even carry to the brain.
Hold that thought right there, Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and that friend Bill Sardi is a health journalist, is talking about the Ritalin that is being, of course, dispensed like peppermints by school nurses, by doctors, and of course, so many of our children are on it, and this has permanent physiological effects. It stunts their growth. You know, the children who are on Ritalin have smaller brains than the children, normal children. Why would you do something like that to our children? And unless there was another agenda. And now they're finding that a certain number of these children on Ritalin are dying because, of course, just as methamphetamine poisons the heart, so Ritalin, which works exactly the same way, poisons the heart. And there's been report now of 19, I mean, you're talking about 10, 12, 13-year-old children dying of heart disease when one athlete who was taking an overdose of a ephedrine-type drug died. Why they pulled the ephedrine-type drug off the market. Terrible, 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 but 19 die from Ritalin, and well, my goodness, we're going to put a black box warning on the label, which nobody reads, but we're going to put a black box warning onto the onto that package insert, and somehow that's going to make everything all right, but we certainly would not pull the drug off the market as we had with the ephedra-based weight loss products, which, of course, were being widely used at that time. So pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, I'm so frightened of this all because it's gotten even into Christian schools and other places. Now you're going to have your children vaccinated to get into these schools. Now they're looking, they're on the prowl. The second your child looks a little distracted, why, they're going to start putting them on Ritalin. These children are, they can't get to sleep. Therefore they can't grow properly. This is a terrible thing. The parents are hooked on this. They don't want to do the parenting, and yet they're at a loss to find an answer We're trying to give you the answer today. We went and looked in the medical literature, and we know that a great many of these cases, it's simply a case of iron deficiency anemia. If you have a young child, they've got cold hands and feet, the last place that the red blood cells carry heat in your body, the last place they get to is the hands and feet. Your children will have cold hands and feet frequently. And they'll be tired and fatigued, obviously. And they will crave acidic foods because their body needs to absorb more iron, like tomatoes, like citrus. And, of course, they'll be pale and so on. So these are the signs, but they certainly won't have much mental attention because they're out of red blood cells to carry oxygen to the brain. These kids become sugar cravers because the brain also craves sugar. Without the oxygen, they'll try the other one. And, of course, this is where you get into all kinds of trouble. So the kids are growing tremendously. You notice our children grow taller than their forefathers, and they have these growth spurts around 10 or so. The children need to take naps. They need to be given foods, and they need vitamin C, because if you're supplementing vitamin C with your children, they'll absorb more iron from their foods. And, of course, you may need some iron tablets. If that's true, only use them for a time. Don't use them forever, and they can be problems when a child is ill. Don't give iron pills when a child is sick. But there's only one kind of iron pill that should be in a home with children. We talk about it on our website at knowledgeofhealth.com. You can go there and find out. It's a technical name, so we won't share it over the radio. It becomes a little confusing for everybody. But at knowledgeofhealth.com, there's a form of iron that will not, in an overdose, if the children should ever, God forbid, ever get into the iron pills as young children, if they happen to swallow a whole jar of them, they still would not have toxic reactions. So there's only one kind that should be in a home with young children, and of course you can find out about it there. It's in many of the drugstores and so on, and of course it's relatively safe to take. Lots of children have anemia. Afterwards, you may want to give them an iron pill once a week rather than every day. In 6 weeks, you've built up your red cell count. And for types of foods, obviously, red meat is highly absorbable iron, as well as other meats. And then if you don't, if you're a vegetarian family, you can substitute with molasses or raisins or other things, but you still need that vitamin C to help out. And then if there's still some anemia there, you might try the iron pills. But you need to come under some good advice. Why are we reaching for a street drug, a stimulant drug? Here we are, we had ephedra. They were talking about it as a weight loss drug. Now we're putting kids on a even more potent stimulant, which is Ritalin. The kids are literally wired, and, of course, this is what we're doing to our children. If you haven't got a good reason to pull your kids out of school or your grandchildren out of school, then you should be doing it today, because the teachers and everyone there are all on the prowl to put your kids on these kinds of drugs. And the second your children look like they're having a little behavior problem, why, here it goes. It's the young boys. They have the little problems. Also very good for young children is omega-3 fish oils or flaxseed oil. These kids sleep better, calm down, especially the young boys. And, of course, I'm just appalled at this. I have a young boy here at home. He's 19 months old now. And, of course, we're just not going to put him through all of this kind of a system. You should be pulling your children out of these school systems, and I'd be very careful about the Christian school systems as well. So you can talk to the most earnest teachers. They've gone to classes. They'll tell you, well, we know, and then they recommend the children to a nurse who recommends them to a doctor, and the next thing there's a prescription. And if you say no, well, of course, you're a derelict parent. So this is the kind of thing that's going on. It's just normal growth problems with children. Your children are lackadaisical, needing to take naps. They're pale and they're tired and they're in growth spurts. You can bet, first thing, think of iron deficiency anemia. Never put your children on a stimulant, which is simply a street drug called meth or crystal meth, or in this case, Ritalin. They just rename it. Of course, the molecules are just slightly different. It's the same class of drugs. And by the way, they couldn't be supplying the 2.5 million adults in this country who have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. That's their excuse to go on methamphetamine and get it legally. So you see, the drug companies are in this as long as they're being cut into the deal, but the illegal meth, you see, they got these meth labs, but it couldn't be supplying all the people that are on it illicitly. That's another 4 million people. You see, some of this prescription stuff that's made by a drug company is making its way onto the street scene, and so the sales of that probably supersedes all the rest of this. We don't know. It must be another $1 billion, and they're hiding it because this isn't on the books. And, of course, this is what they're doing, profiteering. $600 million of Ritalin sales, probably another $1 billion hidden in the whole mess, and they're doing this to your children. And, of course, they're training doctors, nurses, and teachers to be on the lookout of kids who have a Ritalin deficiency.
And, of course, if you go back and you read Aldous Huxley's The Brave New World, he tells you that everybody's going to be on drugs. And you go back and read Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society, 1953, through the use of diet injections and injunctions, we'll be able to mold the minds of the children so that they will never dare object to the policies that we're putting forward through the use of diet injections and injunctions. Bertrand Russell, 1953, The Impact of Science on Society. If you'd like the pages from his book, well, I would be glad to send it to you. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the parents of America to know.
It's a sickening part of America now. We're drugging our children, making them passive. And certainly there are other drugs, too, that they put these children on, tranquilizers and so on. So it goes on and on here, and then we have the children, of course, exposed. Here's the British press today talking about the over-vaccination of children, and it looks like they're putting their youngsters through 25 different vaccine shots in just 1 year. So,
of course, the veterinarians realized that they were over-immunizing our domestic animals, so they've cut back on the vaccination, but the medical profession is going to keep increasing the number of vaccinations that are given to our children. And with each one, you prime their immune system even more. And then we wonder why so many of them have autoimmune diseases, asthma, all sorts of allergic reactions. Oh, shucks, we just can't figure out why that's going on. But we can assure you that it's not the vaccines.
And here's the British press even telling us they have this secret report they're trying to uncover now with 18 childhood deaths following vaccinations. And of course, they're hiding the deaths because they don't want the public to know, and so therefore they don't want to cause any kind of a pause in the public's confidence in these vaccines. So we can never get at the truth. And of course, this is what we have going. And of course, now even today in the news here, by the way, the FDA is involved in all of these things, along with the Centers for Disease Control. They're fully aware of all of this. New study suggests artificial sweetener, aspartame, causes cancer in rats at the same levels currently approved for humans. Now, when this was approved, aspartame, it's NutraSweet, well, they didn't do the safety testing they were supposed to do. The FDA allowed this, and now we're doing it years later. And so now here's researchers in Italy saying, my oh my, the concentration we're allowing people to get, a daily dose, is the same that we can produce tumors in animals. I just don't know. This is just a derelict organization, the Food and Drug Administration. I do not know what to say to the American public, but if you are taking prescription drugs, I'd certainly be in question whether any one of them is safe. And, of course, I've tried to outline for you so many of the things from the statin drugs for cholesterol to the blood pressure drugs. There's three or four of them. Just how even an innocent diuretic will cause heart failure and cause you to die because the doctors are oblivious to the nutritional deficiencies these things cause. So we see these problems occurring. You need to find alternatives. We offer a website at knowledgeofhealth.com to try to wade you through some of this. I know so many of you want personal coaching. I can't play doctor, but you can send us an email, and I can answer in general about things for you so you can...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi, and he's just simply saying that if you send him an email, why, he'll try to get back to you. And, of course, he can't diagnose you. You know, he's not a doctor, but he's got a tremendous wealth of information on the regular proprietary drugs and then the alternative approaches that really can help you. And long before we had all these proprietary, very expensive drugs, we did not have as many problems as we did. And many times you'll take one drug, and it'll lead to another problem. And then you'll take another drug, and it'll lead to another problem. The perfect example would be the statin drugs that you take to lower your cholesterol, and then maybe you'll get a lot of weakness. And, of course, that's related to the deficiency of coenzyme Q10. And maybe if you take that, fine. But if you don't take that, you could very well develop congestive heart failure. So then we've got to treat your congestive heart failure or your muscle weakness or your fatigue or your mental changes. And people get very depressed when they get very low levels of cholesterol because it impacts on the ability of their brain to think. So all of the drugs, so many of the drugs have secondary complications. You pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, we certainly do. We do have reports on our website why you'll never get well taking prescription drugs, and so many of these, there should be a law of the essential nutrients they deplete you of, and there are many examples. And the statin drugs deplete you of a nutrient called coenzyme Q10, needed for cellular energy, heart energy. And, of course, many of the beta blockers and so on, the ACE inhibitors and so on do the same. The diuretics deplete you of potassium, magnesium, and then, of course, vitamin B1, which throws your heart into heart failure and so on. So you need to be careful. These drugs are unsafe, and there are alternatives. We're trying to make you aware of them. As you know, Dr. Stan, February is Heart Month. And, of course, just breaking on our website, a new report about the man who cured heart disease with a natural molecule 20 years before cholesterol drugs were ever heard of. His name, Dr. Lester Morrison. He was the director of research professor at the Institute of Arteriosclerosis and Research at Loma Linda University School of Medicine in Loma Linda, California. And he wrote a book, Coronary Heart Disease, and all about something called chondroitin sulfate. In 1982, Dr. Morrison wrote, "I am Lester Morrison, MD. I've been a doctor for 50 years, much of that time devoted to finding a way to stop heart disease, which killed my mother, my father, and several members of my family, and remains the number one killer in the United States and developed countries." He then went on to explain, after 20 years of testing natural molecules in animals, he went on to use them in humans. He started with a simple natural molecule of lecithin, which had choline. Lecithin, of course, we get from soy. And then he showed where he could reduce the number of deaths, cut them in half by just giving lecithin to people. This was a 3-year study. It was announced in 1949. Of course, the medical literature never went any further to look at it. These were small studies. He then went on to show in pictures in his book that if you gave animals chondroitin sulfate, why, their arteries would be cleaned out. And, of course, he shows even a heart here of an animal that had a heart attack, and you gave him chondroitin sulfate. Now, you may have heard about chondroitin sulfate as treatment along with glucosamine for arthritis. But it will heal the inside of the arteries, and it will heal the heart. There he shows in pictures that we have on the website.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Bill. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is health journalist Bill Sardi, and he's pointing out that some 20 years ago, a doctor had actually been able to cure coronary artery disease with lecithin, which is a very, very simple molecule. It's a type of a fatty substance. It is chondroitin sulfate he was using?
Yeah, he started with lecithin, and of course, he showed dramatic results with that. He then went on to chondroitin sulfate, and then showed pictures here, and he used animals because you can cut them open and look at the arteries, and he shows you here monkeys and so on. And if you give this to, you can cholesterol feed an animal, feed them cholesterol in high fat diets, and then give them chondroitin, and you never see any plaque in the arteries whatsoever. Now, he can reverse it as well. And of course, what Dr. Morrison did, he began to use this in humans, in one study why there were 60 patients in a group with no chondroitin, 60 with chondroitin. Four people died in the chondroitin group. 14 died in that didn't get the chondroitin. These were all heart attack patients who then suffered fatal heart attacks. 350% reduction in fatal heart attack among 60 patients given chondroitin, 60 in each group. And, of course, therefore, that's a tremendous reduction, never been recorded in history of cardiology. And then for the non-fatal heart attacks, the group getting the chondroitin, there were no non-fatal heart attacks. And in the group not getting chondroitin, there were 10. So it was an absolute reduced risk of a non-fatal heart attack. He then went on to test between 1942 and 1955, tested 134 patients, gave them chondroitin sulfate, and he said the results were more than good. They were marvelous. Between 74 and 80% of the patients had improvement in hardening arteries of the legs, the brain, and, of course, their heart arteries. And then he gave case presentations, and I'll try and share them with you quickly. Here's a case of a man who, age 68, 1949, had a heart attack. 1965 was seen by Dr. Morrison, diagnosed with artery disease, high blood pressure, and, of course, he had repeated incidents where mini strokes, lack of oxygen to the brain, visual impairment, disorientation, exhaustion, difficulty speaking, had to have somebody help him even stand up, had vertigo, imbalance, frequent fainting spells or blackouts, blood pressure of 170 over 125. He was taking five different medications and a vitamin pill. Dr. Morrison put him on 10,000 milligrams of chondroitin sulfate between May 1966. 4 months later, he was down to 1,500 milligrams. And in 2 months after taking this, he had a dramatic, persistent improvement. All blackouts ceased. Remarkable improvement in his vision. He was able to walk without assistance and was walking 6 miles each morning. All that with just chondroitin sulfate. Modern medicine has ignored this. They went on to 1987, introduced Mevacor, the first cholesterol-lowering drug. It didn't even lower the mortality rates, but the FDA didn't care. They're the regulator. They're the protector. They let that go on until now. We have $18 billion of cholesterol-lowering drugs being sold. They're worthless. 99 out of 100 users will get no benefit. One may prevent a heart attack, but not a mortal heart attack. It will not lower the mortality rates. This is perfect. The public is dumbed down. They see a number being lowered while the same number will die, and they have a false sense that they're doing something for themselves. Dr. Morrison saw a female patient in 1966. She was 59 years old. She had recurrent angina and chest pain for 3 years running. Doctors couldn't stop it, even on the medications they put her on. And, of course, she was frightened all the time that she would have a heart attack. She had ankle swelling. She was taking lecithin, vitamin E, even Valium, nitroglycerin, thyroid medication, an arthritis drug. They put her on this oral chondroitin sulfate. It's a natural molecule. And in June of 1966, by December of that year, she had very marked clinical improvement, complete disappearance of angina, chest pain. She began swimming and walking again. Remarkable increase in vitality, wrote Dr. Morrison. These are the cases. They're forgotten. They're published in 8 different medical journals and written by a book published by Charles C. Thomas, a major publisher, completely forgotten in the halls of medicine.
Well, of course, statin drugs are very profitable. I mean, when you're talking about an $18 billion, massive profits, and you say nobody could be that crass or indifferent. Well, the doctors aren't. They've just never heard a lot of these stories, and they don't know about other things. They're told by the drug companies what they should be ordered, which work in concert with the AMA and the FDA. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. Find out if these things could be true. If they are, why begin looking after your own health? Don't depend on somebody else. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist, and he's talking about the scientific studies that are out there. And I've had an opportunity to know and work with Bill for some time. I check all the original studies, and he's absolutely right. These are there. These studies are there. Massive controlled studies. I mean, 20 or more years ago, totally ignored by the media today, by the health publications. Why? Because, of course, they're under the control of the drug companies. And if you had simple solutions, you would not have the massive products massive profits we're talking about. Would a drug company put a dangerous drug onto the market they knew was going to kill people? Well, that's exactly what Merck did. They knew before they ever put their drug on the market that it increased the incidence of heart attack sevenfold, heart attack and stroke. And they put it on anyway and said they were going to do more studies. If you have not yet read Dr. David Graham's testimony, actually included in one of my newsletters, you can go up on my newsletter, my website, and pull it down. Understand that Merck knew exactly what they were doing when they put their statin drug on the market, which eventually, of course, they had to pull off the market. So go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, we're trying to show you the long legacy.
I'm sorry, Vioxx was a COX-2 inhibitor. It wasn't a statin drug. But
That's right. We're trying to show you a long legacy here of the Food and Drug Administration not being a guardian of public health, and doctors looking and being complicit, or at least wanting to believe the science. Anybody can look this up. I did. Found 8 different medical journals with Dr. Lester Morrison's papers in them, saw the evidence. This is the Journal of Experimental Medicine and Surgery, Journal American Geriatric Society, Experimental Medicine and Surgery again, certainly the Journal of Circulation Research. These are all prominent journals, all being overlooked. Any doctor could look it up any day. Of course, the medical school curriculum doesn't include all this. There are no alternatives offered. They're giving you worthless cholesterol-lowering drugs. The amount of cholesterol in the blood circulation is not equivalent to what is getting clogged in your arteries. If your arteries are nice and smooth and the cells are maintained with vitamin C or things like chondroitin, the cholesterol can't get underneath and then begin to bulge and weaken the artery. As it is, modern medicine fails to explain why 500,000, mostly men, in the United States die suddenly of no cause. They can't explain it. These men have no more than 60% narrowing of their coronary arteries.
Well, that's all right there. We'll be right back with... Well, Bill is talking about the background between coronary artery disease. And we lose almost 500,000 men a year, over half a million men a year, from coronary occlusion. At least this is what they're told. But is that the real cause? In some instances, of course, there is a massive heart attack. But in other instances, there is no massive heart attack. The heart just goes into fibrillation or stops functioning effectively, and the people simply die. So pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, certainly we're trying to teach people by, you can go to my website at knowledgeofhealth.com and click on the picture of the guinea pig. And, of course, we're in the same spot as a guinea pig. We don't make vitamin C like most of the other animals do. And, therefore, we get floppy artery syndrome. It just flattens out like a fire hose instead of a round garden hose. And when it does that, there'll be a blood clot behind it. And when it occurs in one of the 4 coronary arteries that feed oxygen and nutrients to the heart, then, of course, you've got damaged tissue, a heart attack, chest pain, and it could be sudden death. Now, it's simply there's no evidence that your artery just fell apart and collapsed. There's no number to look at. It has nothing to do with circulating cholesterol. 500,000 men die every year in the United States, and the doctors look the other way. And it's all caused by a deficiency inherent in all humans of vitamin C. Turns out, as we reach age 40 and thereafter, our cholesterol rises, trying to keep us fertile, trying to keep us so we can make babies, trying to make sure that we can extend the childbearing years. And so our cholesterol goes up because cholesterol is needed, of course, to make testosterone and estrogen. So it's a natural occurrence. Doctors then see this as increasing the risk for heart disease. But notice we never put a age on this. We're taking young 20-year-old women and telling them they should lower their cholesterol. What for? Because this whole thing appears to have been a ruse to lower the fertility rates in America. We're all practicing a worthless exercise of lowering our cholesterol because our testosterone and our estrogen levels will drop. Our grandparents never knew what a fertility clinic was. Now we're on all the low-fat foods, and we can't figure out why we're not fertile, why we can't have babies. And then, of course, when you're on low-fat diets, you're going to have problems with mental issues. You're not making the same hormones that keep you mentally active as well, and so, again, you're having problems. So we've been dumbed down. This whole thing was a ruse, in my mind. It's just another population control effort, and it has been inappropriate for us to put young people or certainly young females on low-fat diets. One way to do this is starve yourself of fat, but it's not an appropriate way. You need to make your hormones. You need to keep your mood up. The way to do this is make sure the cholesterol can't get inside the artery wall, and that's vitamin C. And, of course, today we're exposing chondroitin sulfate as another alternative. And if you keep those artery walls strong, it doesn't matter how much cholesterol is there. It'll just go right on by. And so this is our problem. You're taking statin drugs. 1 out of 100 patients will benefit, avoid a heart attack, but not a mortal heart attack. It's terrible, yet the doctor will look you straight in the eye and tell you if you don't go on this pill, you're going to die. So we just had someone who works for me. Their father-in-law, 58 years old, following all the doctor's rules, statin drugs, blood pressure pill, going to the gym every day, on the exercise bicycle, fell over, fainted. 4 days later, they pulled the plug, and he's, of course, now had the funeral. So you want to keep following the doctor's advice. I'm sorry, your doctor may be sincere, but he may also be misled.
I really think that what you should do is go to the physician's desk reference and actually read the studies, and you'll find out, for instance, with Crestor, the statin drug, and then if you'd like a copy from the pages of the PDR, we'd be glad to send it to you, where they talk about this wonderful drug that's going to lower your cholesterol. And then it says in very fine print, there is no evidence it affects cardiac morbidity or cardiac mortality. Now, that's not the sort of jargon, the speech that most people have. Most people don't come up and say, how's your cardiac morbidity? But what that really means is cardiac disease is morbidity, mortality is death. So you're going to take this medication, you could run a lot on it, and yet they will admit it doesn't affect cardiac morbidity or mortality. Maybe you've had a previous heart attack, it might lower it slightly, but for the person who has not had a previous heart attack and no evidence of heart disease, simply an elevated cholesterol, you're going to be put on this drug with all the complications. And they're not telling you that. There are no studies with normal people who do not have heart disease, and you put them on lowering the cholesterol significantly, are going to decrease heart disease. Are there any studies of that sort, Bill?
Well, there are a few, but we really don't see where we leave them alone, and we never see a real good study. One of our problems is we have people in the hospital for a few days. We're giving them a little tray of food. The nutrients in that food plate are certainly never enough if you have a damaged heart. But we're told by the dietitian there's plenty there to make you healthy. There's no way. You need the proteins and the vitamins and so on to heal, and this is why you're going to have a scarred heart for the rest of your life or go into heart failure. And then they put you on drugs that further deplete you of the nutrients that will get you well. So we never really see a true study where they've used these things in lieu of. Only Dr. Morrison did this 20, 30 years ago. And, of course, we saw Dr. Linus Pauling doing this because what we're saying is if you use vitamin C in higher doses throughout the day or you use chondroitin sulfate like Dr. Morrison did, the lining on the inside of your arteries is strong and it's smooth. And cholesterol can't stick, but there's something else that can't stick, and those are tumor cells. This was the answer or the cure for two major causes of death, and that was, of course, cancer and heart disease. Cancer cells not being able to stick course, then can be intercepted by the immune system. And then, of course, if they're spreading, or that's what we die of, metastasis or spreading tumors. And, of course, you can live perpetually if you don't have spreading tumors. So they were trying to tell us this years ago. Modern Medicine Mayo Clinic came out with some bogus studies to declare Dr. Linus Pauling's work as being invalid. It turned out that their own studies were flawed, but they never admitted to it. And so now this is kind of what we get. Listen to this third case. Dr. Morrison, treating a 77-year-old male in the 1960s, a man with a heart attack, previously general artery disease, high blood pressure, prostate enlargement, heart pounding, skipped heartbeats, weakness, shortness of breath, loss of memory, insomnia, nervousness. All he did, this man was on digitalis, vitamin supplements, began putting him on the chondroitin sulfate. This was done in June. By October of that year, the man said he felt wonderful. There was a disappearance of fatigue, nervousness. Weakness on exertion was gone. No skipped heartbeats. He even began to grow a bushy head of hair again. His black hair was replacing his white hair. And he canceled his planned prostate surgery, all with chondroitin sulfate. It was all done in 1966, documented for medical purposes here, but the halls of medicine have forgotten these achievements. Dr. Morrison, of course, was forgotten. Mevacor came on in 1987, and this false theory of heart and blood vessel disease was promoted. So this is what went on. We have the cures at hand. Modern medicine will say, well, Dr. Morrison's work has never been further validated. To whose fault is that? Their own. Aren't they interested in looking at this, whether it's true or not? Aren't they interested in validating this, something that might work better?
Well, of course, if it worked better, you would not be selling them billions and billions and billions of dollars of the statin drugs. And that is the tragedy. Bill, before we go on, let's get your telephone number and your website out in case people, not your telephone number, but your email and, of course, your website. I don't want you to get besieged with telephone calls, but your email and your website so people would know how they could get this story you just told.
Yeah, knowledgeofhealth.com, knowledgeofhealth.com. And, of course, we're trying to give you this information for free. It's as long as we can, and, of course, there's information there on the website about vaccinations and autism and blood pressure and cancer and so on. So we hope you'll avail yourself of it. We get emails frequently. We forward them on to Dr. Monteith about people having some successful results with things we suggested. So we don't practice medicine. We are reporters. We pass on good information to you. And, of course, you should have good confidence in it. You should have less confidence in what's being handed to you by modern medicine today. We do have a free e-book, The Collapse of Conventional Medicine. Download it and read it. But we're trying to give you information. We're not here. I make no money off the website whatsoever. There are a few e-books for sale. That all goes to cover the costs of running that a year. So we have a dedicated program. It costs us over $50,000 a year to deliver free information to you, so we want you to avail yourself of it. And, of course, it's just information that you and your family can use. In this case today, we've been talking about, of course, Ritalin and the young children being put on a stimulant, now leading to cardiac death. And then we gave you an answer. The children can, of course, be given iron and ways of getting off of anemia, which is probably the cause of their attention deficit disorder. And then during Heart Month here, we're talking about a cure for heart disease with a natural molecule. Was, of course, reported 20 years ago authoritatively, and all the pictures of the arteries and so on are online at knowledgeofhealth.com. Dr. Lester Morrison showing us many years ago, all forgotten while we've let people die. And if you continue to have confidence in what the FDA says is an approved drug, well, you've heard the message here today.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, it's 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 1-866-464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question for Bill, why, we'd love, of course, to cover it, I'd let you talk to him about a constant source of information. There's so many studies. This material with Dr. Lester Morrison, what was that, 20, 30 years ago?
Yes, well, he wrote these books. 1974 was his book to doctors. He was writing about this in the 1960s in other medical journals. Wrote a book for the public, Dr. Morrison's Heart Saver Program, in 1982. You might be able to find it in an old bookstore or online at a Libris that has old books, Dr. Morrison's Heart Saver Program, but it's hard to find book. But a few copies are still running around, so you might be able to find some of this. But we try to lead you to it for free, give it to you in a nutshell on our website. Lives are at stake. We're trying to help you find simple, easy answers that are safe, and of course things that you can rely upon that certainly stand a better chance of working than FDA-approved drugs. I'm trying to create some doubt in your mind. I'm trying to get you to take one step back. We've had so many people write to us and tell us they've thrown all their drugs in the garbage pail and have begun a new program. I can't tell you to do that. You may need to wean away from some medicine slowly. But I can encourage you to try to get away from medicines that are problematic. And, of course, we only hope that you do, that you find health and longevity in a wonderful way, the way God meant your life to live. You'll be recurrently dependent for the rest of your life on these medicines. They'll cost you an unbelievable amount of money. They're now pushing the FDA for faster approval of these drugs. Does the cost come down? No, it goes up. This is insanity. We can't complain to our elected representatives in Washington, D.C. They're of no help whatsoever. They're completely paid off by the big pharma industry. I'm sorry, it will do you no good to complain. At this point, you're going to need to make decisions on your own for you and your family from your young children on up. If you want to stay healthy, you need to find these alternatives. That's just the way it is. I don't know what you're going to do about getting your kids college degrees or into schools or any of these other things, because if you reject all this, they're going to forbid you from participating in these things. I don't know what's going on. I can't explain it all. I can only tell you a better road to take is to walk away from these medicines. And they shouldn't be putting your children on any of these kind of stimulants. If you have loved ones that are dying of heart disease, they're dying despite cures that are readily available today. Simple things, vitamin C, chondroitin sulfate, fish oil. They're all things that would help you and your family, and you should be on all of them.
What are the chondroitin sulfate? Is this something they can get at a regular health food store?
They can get it at any health food store. We have no commercial interest in it. It's been used for years. It's perfectly safe. There are a couple of different sources. Some people are allergic to shellfish, and that some of the sources come from shellfish, that's fine. They can get it from another source. But it has been used for years, frequently made with glucosamine. Just get the chondroitin. Don't get the with the glucosamine for the best use. Just do what Dr. Morrison did here. If you're trying to recover from heart attacks and so on, and so many people are just frightened, even after the heart bypass and everything else they've done, they're still having the angina. And, of course, pretty frightening situation, and no other alternatives. Here's an alternative for you today. It's safe. Nobody's going to take a lot of money out of your pocket. Isn't going to interfere with your medicines. It builds up the arteries. That's what it does. It heals the tissues that have been damaged. And so here's something that we can take a look at, and of course, God help us all. We find these things, share it with your loved ones. It's so hard to share it with people secondhand, so you're going to have to adopt these things for you and your family.
Well, I would suggest people go to knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. It's an excellent website there. And of course, you can certainly, there's if you get on there, why, there's some place you type in and just ask a heart attack or cardiac disease, and it'll take you to the section that talks about Dr. Lester Morrison's work and study. So the information is there. It's free. Pull it down. Read it. Read what he was writing about, you know, in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, and then ask yourself, if this is really true, why are we taking statin drugs? Because if you read the package inserts, you'll find that the, you know, the advantage is really pretty small. They can juggle those figures all they want to, but a lot of those package inserts already have the information. Trouble is, the doctors don't read them. They take what that attractive detail woman says and tells them about how wonderful these drugs are. They believe what they read in their medical journals and the advertisements and the articles that are published there that are financed by the drug companies. And, of course, unfortunately, when they go to the medical meetings, why, of course, they're told, this is the way you practice medicine. We've got to get the cholesterol down. That's how we're going to save human lives. But if we're going to save human lives, we lose over 500,000 people every year from heart disease. And are we really doing that good a job? Are there other alternatives? We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program with Bill Sardi. Well, Bill, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, of course, we're going back in time now because we need to see that there actually have been failures and in our government and people that should be looking out for public health. We certainly bought into the idea we can be prescribed 5, 6, 7 different drugs and never think about it. As soon as, of course, we tell our doctor we're taking vitamins, why, he says, well, you better make sure, call up, it could interfere with your medicines. Ladies and gentlemen, the medicines are not essential. Folic acid, vitamin D, vitamin C, these are essential for life. You'll never get well. You need to be on these supplements as well as good foods that are rich in these nutrients. Nutrophobia. We'll call the doctor. We'll call vitamin companies worried that our vitamins are going to interfere with our drugs. We need to understand it's the drugs that are interfering with our nutrition. So we need to get over this. We need to get past it. The FDA's played a complicit role in this, scaring us away from perfectly safe nutrients and so on, and, of course, continuing to do this. So we need to understand that for a long history now, far too long, why these agencies of government have been given over to promoting drugs. They're just shills for the drug companies. I only wish the drug companies had the cures and that they weren't so problematic and then we could just adopt them easily, but they don't.
And I thought it was so interesting, the email you sent me today, the article, where there's these scientists in another country were pointing out that the aspartame, the Nutrasweet, it's in our children's baby food, it's in so many of the...
Right, but why didn't the FDA test this? They should have insisted the safety tests were done. Instead, they approved it again many years ago. We all know. We all certainly know. Well, but why didn't they do the test on cancer? So now we've all subjected ourselves to these toxic chemicals when we shouldn't have ever.
And we see cancer going up all the time, and the people in government shrug and they say, gee, we have no idea. And here are these studies showing the increased incidence of cancer in animals fed comparable amounts of aspartame and NutraSweet. And well, what's going to happen? Well, they'll probably have a committee look at it, and then they'll have another committee look at it, and they'll have another committee look at it. And more and people are going to get cancer, and they're going to die. But aren't there really too many people in the world anyway? Could anybody be that crass? Bill Sardi, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Good night now, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. All right. Well, I do hope that many of you out there will want to take the time to challenge what Bill has said, to get the information, to start thinking about it, and to realize that you are responsible for your health and your family's health. And there really are wicked and evil people out there, which explains what's going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Bill Sardi. We have a number of books on this subject. We carry Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We carry his book on excitotoxins, goes into the background of how they're poisoning our children with NutraSweet and aspartame and MSGs. And then, of course, we carry his book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. I had somebody call the other day. Their daughter-in-law was using the routine, and, of course, she was going through chemotherapy, and the doctor couldn't understand why she wasn't violently ill and why her hair didn't all fall off when she was on the chemotherapy. He wanted to know her secret, and she wasn't about to tell. The book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. Then we carry the book, The Fluoride Deception, tells how they're poisoning our children, and they're poisoning us, of course. And for instance, in Newburgh, New York, where the original study on water fluoridation was done, twice the incidence of heart disease than in Kingston, where they weren't poisoning the people with the water. Could this really be going on? Oh, it couldn't be true. The book, The Fluoride Deception, and then, of course, the other book by Dr. Blaylock, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We recommend all of these books. We have an excellent book on statin drugs. We have an excellent book on magnesium, because magnesium is something you really need, and, of course, you're not getting it through regular channels. And then, of course, if you doubt what's really going on in the world today, let me suggest a DVD and or a video. It's my talk on planned population reduction. Did you know that there are 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease? 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. Is that a successful public health policy? Or an effective genocidal policy? Do you realize we've killed almost 100 million people in third world countries since we outlawed DDT, the most effective insecticide ever known? Why would you outlaw an effective, pesticide that was saving millions of lives every year? Very simply, aren't there too many people in the world? Why do you think that today, and I have the latest statistics from Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana, according to the figures we just got this last 2 weeks, have HIV infection. Now, they're all going to die of this. Now, is this a failed public health policy, or is this a successful genocidal policy? There really are people who look at the world differently than you and I. They've written books. We have them. And, of course, you'll really, I hope, enjoy the video or DVD. Planned population reduction. And believe me, these policies are being carried out in America today. War is not efficient killing as simply medications or withholding of medications or creating new diseases. Where did AIDS come from? Where did chronic fatigue come from? Where did Ebola and certainly Marburg disease, and where did SARS come from? Where did NIFA come from? Where did Lyme disease come from? And nobody wants to ask, do we really have laboratories where they're creating new diseases? Well, you want to get the book, which we carry. It's called Project Daylily. It's written by one of the most distinguished scientists in America today, Dr. Garth Nicholson. And he will tell you that he has been approached by people who are part of these programs, who are afraid to come forward for fear of their lives, and almost 100 microbiologists have died in recent years. Some of them found, well, one of them was found stuffed in the trunk of his car with multiple gunshot wounds, obviously an apparent suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the sort of thing that goes on. We live in a fallen world. There really is organized evil. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. If you'd like copies of our programs, they're available by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy that rules the world, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and so much of the other material you're going to get through Radio Liberty you're not going to hear discussed elsewhere. If what we're saying isn't true, you've got nothing to worry about. But if it is, you've got to start looking after your family's health. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.